talking about the promises, and tonight it's salt and light. So with his permission, I'm going to read the text for this evening, Matthew 5, beginning at verse 13 through verse 16. Jesus speaking here, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the salt, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Brother Daniel, you want to come and we'll have prayer with you? Oh, yeah. You can use mine. You're planning a children's lesson tonight, yeah. Right? Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this evening again. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for bringing our brother and sister here to share with us. And Father, we want to look into your word again this evening. Speak to each of our hearts, each of our needs. Open our hearts and minds so that we can hear your message. And Father, that even the children would grasp what it is in your word that you want us to know tonight. So we give you thanks for Daniel and what you plan to do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Don't know if you believe everything Marvin is saying, but we'll have confession a little later on. So if you see him come back up, you know he wasn't telling all the truth. I love fellowship. Fellowship is one of the things I enjoy. I was just sharing with the Burkholders, Dwayne Burkholder. We've been friends for a long time. And when his dad had died, we lived in New York City, and it took us 12-hour drive to come for a 3-hour funeral service, and then 12 of us back home. But just being there has been a blessing for them, and it's been a blessing for us. So we were there today, and this evening stopped in there, and Dwayne, his son, is getting married soon, and I love to talk about marriage. So then we get into marriage and then praying and looking at the time, and it's like, oh boy, let's go. But we made it. All right, children, come up front. If you're 3, 5 to 8 on this side, 5 years to 8 years on this side, 9 to 12 on this side. All right, now, and I need, which is the tallest young man we have here? Who's the tallest guy here? All right, you come up here. Come on up here. Why don't you stand right up there? And who's the meanest one among you guys? Who's the meanest? Ah, you look mean. Come here. Yeah, you look like a mean guy here. I even give you a chair to sit on. Sit on the chair there. Oh, sit on the one back here. This is better for you. No, you don't get a seat. You go stand over there. Yeah, you stand over there. All right, this story today, children, is a long, long time ago. There was a king, and the king's name was King Nebuchadnezzar. Say hi, king. Wave a little bit. King, all right. King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we also have a little prize time, kids, to listen to the story. Your question today comes from the story. King Nebuchadnezzar decided one day he's going to have the people to worship a big statue, an idol. Does anybody know what the idol's name was? The golden calf? Oh, that was close. You don't look like a calf, do you? All right, the king had a great golden idol. But it looks like, no, it looks. You want my glasses? Okay. All right, let's get the Bible so I can read the story for you. Oh, it's this way. Man, I'm confused today. Now, who knows where that story is found? In the book of King Nebuchadnezzar. Where was it found? Daniel, good man. So open your Bible to Daniel, and let's go along with the story. Daniel what? Let's see who knows it. Where is it in the book of Daniel? Come on, church. Huh? Three? Okay, since you know it, stand up and read it. Huh? Come on, stand up and read it. You can say it. You didn't find it yet? Well, let's see if it's the right thing then. You might be in trouble, boy. You have a mic? Just give him a mic here. We need a mic up here. Come on up here and read that for us. Stand up and read it nice and loud. You guys are laughing. You guys are going to have the same thing later on. I'll be picking on somebody. So have your laugh now. He might be like, I wonder why I said something.
Okay, you want me to read the whole chapter?
No, I'll tell you when to stop. You just go ahead. Start up.
Okay. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits.
So the king Nebuchadnezzar made this golden image that was very tall. Go ahead.
And its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar...
Oh, where was it? In the province of...
In the province of Babylon.
Babylon, okay. Go ahead.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather together the satraps, the prefects, and the governors.
The governors. Come on, governor. And who else? The prefects. Who else?
The prefects, governors, counselors.
Counselors. Come on, counselor.
Treasurers.
Ah, you look like a treasurer right here. Come here. Your armor folded. You. Who else?
Justices.
The justice. You look like justice. Come on, justice.
Magistrates.
The magistrate.
And all the officials of the provinces.
And all the officials. So everybody come up here right here. We need some of you there yet still. Okay, go ahead.
For the dedication of the image.
Now, do you all know the story? Okay, good, because you're going to help me out. Go ahead.
For the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up.
Uh-huh.
And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, mm-hmm. and the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn..."
When you hear the music playing, when you hear the song, who's the song leader tonight? All right, do you have a little children's song? You can give us a little thing. Everybody going to sing it together? A little children's song? Yes, Jesus loved me, or something like that? So you turn around... And you need to bow to the golden image. Everyone, you got to bow. Cut. Keep going. No, you can raise up. You can get up again.
So every time
the music play, where are my children at? Oh, here we go. Oh, this is all I got left? When the music play, you would bow before the golden image. Go ahead.
When you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, uh-huh. lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar.
You can sit down now because we don't have much time, but thank you so much. But then we had Shadrach, Meshach. Man, I'm running out of boys here. And Abednego. And when the music play, come on, music play. They all will bow before the golden image except but hold it. There was this one guy. He was a snitch. And he went and tell the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, when the music play, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow. And the king got angry. Hey. The king got angry. Jeez. Could you get angry? All right. The king got angry. The king says, the next time the music play, if you would bow down Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no problem. All is good. The king broke his own rule. You see, when the music would play, if you don't bow, the king says, you see right in the corner there? There's a fiery furnace. If you don't bow, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar get very angry. Now you got to stand up and stomp, you know, you're really angry. Yeah, all right, he's angry, right? I would love you to be angry. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, King, do whatever you want. We would not bow down to anything but to our God. We would not bow down to anything but God. And the king was even more angry. And the king told his men, all we got is one left. Come on, help me out here. To take these boys and throw them in the fiery furnace. Throw them in. Tie them up and throw them in. Throw them in. Don't be afraid. Their parents are at home. And when they fell in there, we need Jesus yet. Oh, boy. All right, here we go. We're going to get a big Jesus here. You got to come. You got to go sit with them in the fire. And then the king got up, and he looked in the fire, and there were not three, but there were, how many are there now? There were four. And then they came out, and he touched their hair. Oh, yours has some gel in it. And yours is better. And it was not even a little swinch. It was perfect. All right, go back and sit down, because we're going to run out of time. We're going to tell you about the story. Thank you very much, King Nebuchadnezzar. Give him a round of applause here. Here we go. All right. So what happened? The moral of the story. The moral of the story is, as you grow older, you will get people who will tempt you to do things. They will tell you, come do this. And if you, you know, if you do this, if you do this, that is wrong. You could be our friends. And you could come with us. And you could play with us. But God wants you to grow up to be men of God. God wants you to grow up to be women of God. And God wants you to obey him. And as you've been obedient to God, there will be times when you will be tempted. And I know you're pretty young right now, and you may think, well, but it will come. But I want you young men to stand strong. You see, because at the end of it all, the Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar made a new decree that no one will bow to any god but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they stood strong. And I'm going to stop now and have some questions for you. Now we have the cookie jar. And we also have a different prize, too, today. The cookie jar is here. And we have 5 envelopes. One of these have $5 in it. One of these have $2 in it. One has $1, and two has nothing in it. A blank paper. Now, you have a choice, if you get the answer right, to either take as much candy as you want, without letting one drop, or any one of these envelopes. This is guaranteed. You can see it. These are not. And I'll explain to you in a little bit. Which one would you choose? Would you choose this? You could go in and get some candy. Or you could pick up an envelope with $5 or $0. Question number one on this side. What was the name of the king? All right, we'll go to the next one. What's the name of the king? Nebuchadnezzar. So you're coming up. Make a pick. Which one you want, the candy or you want to take a chance with the envelope? Now, remember, you could see what you can get in the candy jar. But this one is faith. Which one you want to take? Only one. All right, let's open it up, see what you get. $1. Okay, so you got a dollar. You can keep that. Thank you. All right, on this side. Tell me the book of the Bible and the chapter it was read from. Show your hand first. Sorry. Is that right? Daniel chapter 3. Come on over. Which one are you going to pick? Oh, boy, everybody wants to go for the money, boy. Let's see what you got here. Another, $2. So now you got $5 there now. All right. Now let's come over here now. What were the name of the men, the three young boys? I got you in the back. No, right here. And the other one was, sorry, we got to go to the next one. Okay. Okay, that was good, but we need two more. So, yep, Meshach, Abednego. What's the next one? Wadshak. All right, Wadshak is good. Come on, Wadshak, you are good. You don't want candy? Oh, you want the money, right? All right, go ahead. Let's see what you get. Oops, nothing there. Sorry. Just in case you think you saw what it is, we're going to move it around a little bit here, you know, and put it back, the empty one there yet still. All right, over here. Well, that's too easy. The king made a new decree. What was it? Try one of the girls in the back here. Yes. A new decree. It was a new decree. The king made a new decree. Okay. Yep. They should bow down to no other god but the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, I'll let you go for it. Go ahead. Let's see what they're going to take. Nobody want candy tonight, buddy. It's money. Uh-oh. This guy's for forget. I'm taking what I can see. Uh-oh. No, you come back here. All right. Open it up. Let's see what you got. Oh, sorry. Go sit down. I can see that with you when you're going, because we have the last question is, how many men were in the fire? No, you've been putting your hand up pretty long. Let's see. How many of the boys were in the fire?
Four.
No, sorry. Let's try you here.
Three.
All right. Here we go. That was a good try. Very good. That was a good try. There was four when Jesus came in the fire. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, sorry. Well, we're going to have one more question for you over here. What was the moral of the story? Let's come down to the end here. No matter what. Come on up. Yeah, here we go. Your hand's too big to go in the cookie jar. So you might just go for the envelope. Oh, you're going for the cookie jar. Oh, yeah. You're still coming. Keep coming. You made it. All right. All right. All right. You go back to your seats. Don't worry. There's always another day. No, not today. We have a couple of... Okay. Now for the adults, we have a question for you tonight. And you get to come and see if you get the $5, or you can send your child to come. So we're going to have a question for you, but guess what? Not now. Right now we're going to tell the rest of my story. Where did I stop yesterday? No, don't tell me and something happened. I know that. Where did I stop yesterday? Uh-huh. See your hand? Yeah. Oh, man, you're good. Come on up. Try your hand again. Try your hand just for that. Yeah, put your hand in the cookie jar this time. I saw something drop. Sorry. You got caught in the cookie jar. And something happened. Huh, what happened? 6 months old child, beautiful young girl, got sick. In a couple days, she died. Wow. That was hard. But if I go back in my story a little bit, when I was about 12 years old, I was staying in a home where the woman of the home could not read, nor she couldn't write. But she would get these things coming in the mail from Oral Roberts Ministry, and you had to read the Bible every day, some chapters and verses. And she'd have me read the Bible every night. I sat at her bedside and I read the Bible. And I remember in the Bible that God was a good God and he loves us. I didn't understand it all, but I knew it was there was some God that loved you. And I wondered, what kind of God would take away the first child? I mean, I knew the story of David, and David had sinned, and he had prayed, and yet the child died. And yes, we did sin because we committed adultery. I mean, fornication, because we weren't married before my wife was pregnant. But I didn't think God would do that. So that got me in a real more bitter place, and my wife couldn't understand it. She wasn't a Christian, and she was going to the Catholic Church, and she knew some of the stuff there, but there was no hope. The hope you can find only in Jesus Christ. Well, we continue on in life, and then we had another child, a girl, and another child, a girl, and then another child, a girl. We mean three girls. This is our fourth girl, three girls alive. And things started to go okay at one time, and then our marriage was falling apart. It was so bad, my wife was ready to divorce, and you know, but then one night, somewhere in first, second, or third child, she went to a crusade, revival meeting like this. She had some friends that was praying, and she didn't know. They were praying for her that she'd get saved. And she said she went that night, and I don't know if she told the ladies, but she said that night, the preacher was just talking to her. I mean, he was just telling her about her wicked ways and the God that would save her and whatever it is. And then when the altar call came, her friend said, "Do you want to go?" The friend that was praying for her and invited her to the revival meetings. She went up front, prayed to receive Christ. She came home excited. "Oh, I got saved today," and I laughed. Saved from what? You see, I knew two types of Christians. One that walks around with a big Bible and very angry looking, like Jesus I love and no one else. No joy. And I said, I don't want that kind of life. And then the other Christian I know, the one that went to party with me, we smoked together, we drank together, we did drugs together. And then Sunday morning, they want me to come to church. And I didn't want that life. See, because I had decided that I want to be real. I want to be true, even though I wasn't a Christian. And then there was this new movement that came about called Rastafarians. Anybody know what I think? What's a Rastafarian? A Rasta man? What is it? Someone help me. Anybody seen a Rasta man before? It's a guy with long dreadlocks. They don't cut their hair. They don't eat any meat. They don't drink alcohol. They don't smoke cigarettes. That's the real Rastafarian. Came out of Jamaica, the island of Jamaica. They love reggae music and lots of marijuana. As a matter of fact, they would smoke marijuana and read the Psalms. "Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity." We say unity. They say everything is I. There's no you. It's all I. They don't go backwards. They always go forward. I like the music. And I decided, well, I don't want the dreadlocks, but I like what they're saying and what they're doing. So I joined with them, and I stopped eating meat. No meat, no eggs. And my wife had to cook a different way. That's over 40 years ago, and I still do not eat meat today. As a matter of fact, if we would see someone who would say they're a Rastafarian eating meat, you'll cut their dreads. The Rastafarians, they were very feared by the police. I mean, because they were very angry kind of people. They live out in the woods by themselves. And I went along with that movement for a while. And then one day we talked about me coming to see some friends in the U.S., and I came to the U.S. in 1982, and I was like, wow, this place is nice. I mean, in the U.S., the parties went on all night till 9 o'clock in the morning. In Trinidad, the parties finished at 4 o'clock. The drinks, the liquor was cheaper than Trinidad. The drugs were cheaper and easier to get than Trinidad. And lots of women. And so this is the life. Because I had this hole inside of me need to be filled. I had this anger inside of me, and I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I had 3 children, a wife. I had a good job back in the island. And still there was a hole inside of me. I was seeking love. The Bible says that God is love. The Bible says that we are born in the image of God, created in the image of God. There's a connection. We all want to be loved. I don't care who you are. We want to be loved. And I wanted to be loved. So I came to the U.S. and I thought, great, this is the place to be. I went home, told my wife, hey, we got to move to the U.S. And she said, nope. And then one day something happened. One day something happened. Something to change our lives. God has a way of doing things that no one can do. Tomorrow I'll tell you what if something happened. Anyway, let's get into the Word of God today. no drink for the song leader today. Tomorrow I'll tell you a story about this in my story. All right, we'll leave that for now. Okay. As Brother Marvin said, yesterday I said we're going to talk about being light, a promise of God. If you have your Bible, open to Matthew chapter 5. And Nebuchadnezzar, could you stand up and read? No, you are the giant. Stand up and just read that first verse for me. Stand up and read it out nice and loud. All right, stop right there. Give me the next verse. Next verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. What do you want to read? 14 now? Okay, next verse. 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under. I'm going to stop right there for now. Now, did he say that you could be the light of the world? Is that what he said? Nobody listened, right? Did he say you could be the light of the world? Could he say maybe someday you'll be the light of the world? What did he say? The promise is you are the light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. I'm going to preach from down here today because I want to talk to you today. Let's go with salt first. Tell me something that salt does. Anyone? It adds flavor. Good. Well, the first thing, it adds flavor. God says, I want you to add flavor to people around you. When you're in the company of people, do they enjoy you being there? Is it like a sweet taste? You know, what's your name? Huh? Handsome? Oh, sorry. Why are you all laughing? He's handsome. All right, handsome says, every time I come to with these youth guys and them, I don't know what happened. They don't like me. I don't know. Maybe you're not adding enough flavor. I'm not saying you are. I'm just using. But are you adding flavor? Those people enjoy being in your company. God says, I want you to make a change. This is sour, it's bitter. I like to cook. And when I want to cook, I want to make sure the food is well flavored. I'm going to make sure you guys don't know what I'm talking about here. But there was a place not too long ago had a Caribbean meal. And I couldn't go. So I told my daughter she should stop in and try the meal, tell me what it tastes like. They had jerk chicken and rice and peas. And I said, try it and see what it looks like. You know? The next day I went to her house, she said, Dad, that food was nasty. I said, no food is nasty. She said it had no flavor. There was no taste in the food. And that's how some of our lives can be. Tasteless. No flavor. And God says, I want you to be flavor. I want you to make a difference. I want you to change the taste of those that are around you. The things that come out of your mouth, is it sweet? Is it something people want to hear? Is it something they want to know about? Next thing that Saul does, it preserves. Now, back in my young days when I was a little boy, we didn't have electric in our house. So what my dad will do whenever I lived with him, he had this little ice chest that he would put the meat in, cook it dry, and then put it in there and then salt it a lot. And that would preserve. And God said, I want you to be a preservative. The world is rotting and going to hell. We look around us today and there are so much problems in the world. There is murder, there is anger, there is war, jealousy, racism. I mean, all kind of things in the world. And God says, I want you to be a preservative. Instead of just letting everything go to rot, I want you to stand on Jesus Christ. I want you to share the gospel. I want you to live the gospel. I want people to see that you are a different person. And you can save. Or God can use you to save this world. Rather than us talking about it, what are we doing? For instance, I came from a broken home. My wife came from a broken home. And when we got involved in the Mennonite churches, the Anabaptist churches, we used to travel all over the place. And at first I thought, man, these Mennonites, they got it down pat. I mean, there's no problems in the home. The marriage is the greatest. The children, oh, man, they're so obedient. Until I started going into the home and I realized it's not the way it looks Sunday morning in church. There was one place I went to, the man would sleep in one room and the wife would sleep in another room. And they were married. I'm thinking, wow, we're talking about the world is rotting and going, and right among our church. And that's why God placed it on my heart. What was it, 16 years ago, we started doing marriage retreat. Matter of fact, Todd was at one of our marriage retreat we did. Was it the one here, Todd, or the one in Ohio? One in Pennsylvania. We would go out and do marriage retreat all over. We did it in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, here at Plainview. Plainview, is that right? The Beachy Church? Fairview. Oh, kind of close. Plain, fair. Back then, they dressed a little more plain. Anyway, let me get away from that. Stop meddling. Anyway, we did marriage retreats, but there was a problem. God showed me there was a problem in what I was doing. The problem was our main emphasis was on divorce and remarry. If you get divorced, you can't get remarried. And that is true. That's in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible you could remarry. But the horse had already left the barn, and now I'm closing the door. So today we don't do those kind of things. We do building marriages. We get couples on their first marriage, and we do marriage retreats to strengthen their marriage and build their marriages. We use the love and respect. And you come to our retreat, it's all free. We do all the cooking and everything else. Investing in other people's life. And that's why God has opened up a home for us called the Fam House for families to come. Rather than us just looking at what the world is looking like or decaying, what are we doing to help? Are we being salt? You see, you can't see the salt, but it's working. See, people don't have to see everything you do, but you could be working. I look at some of the notes people left, you know, the Fam House, you know, a guest book, and somebody could bring tears to my eyes when they shared what it was like staying at that house for a week or a weekend, what it is for couples to come and just find time to rekindle the fire. Next thing that Saul does, we're running late here, we only have 15 minutes. Next thing Saul does, help me here. Come on. It what? It melt ice? That's a good one. I gotta try that one sometime. I didn't have that. Let me see if I have that one down. But that's a good one. I have a preservative. I have a good flavor. Ah, purify, purity. As a matter of fact, the Romans saw salt as a symbol of purity, and that it came from two pure things, seawater and sun. Most salt in ancient time was acquired by evaporating. Jesus would talk about salt losing its saltiness. How could that be? What happened if you mix salt with other chemicals? To make a difference when we are in contact with the world, salt cannot lose its strength. 2 Kings 2:19. The water was bad. There was some water in a hole, and the water was contaminated. And the king says, you know what? Put salt in it. And it makes it pure. For the young people, for the middle age, and for us older ones, are you living a pure life? Are we showing purity? Or are we contaminated in the ways of the world? You know, in the ways of the world today, there's a message that I've been preparing for 11 years now. I haven't preached it yet. The pacifier Christian. You know how a child is crying, you stick the pacifier in the mouth? It doesn't do anything for the child. It doesn't give them any vitamins, nothing. It just keeps them quiet. It's not really for the child. It's for the parent. See, because the dad or mom doesn't want to hear you cry, so just stick it in the mouth and stops crying. We were going to a retreat one time, myself and some other youth leaders, and one of them said, oh, I said, what happened? Oh, we forget the pacifier. So what happened? Oh, it's not the child. It's you. You may have to be up all night rocking that child. The church is the same today. Well, we want some rock music. The world have rock music. So we have Christian rock. And we contaminate it. Well, they got all these good love novels. And we have Christian love stories, love novels. And Christian music, movies. And we sort of bring it where it's just so that the people wouldn't complain and cry. And many of us in the pulpit just give them a pacifier. And we lose our pureness. We got to be different than the world. How could we be salt if we're the same like the world? And we run out of time. We got five more minutes. Jump down here. How could you purify or make a change if you're diluting? Contaminated salt cannot be used as fertilizer on the field. So it has to be thrown on the road. If we have allowed disobedience, carelessness, indifferences to rule our lives, we have become contaminated salt and lost our saltiness. We need to confess our sins and let the Lord restore us to the purpose of which we are called. Now, one is salt. It works with all you see in. Now he says, you are the light of the world. We are the light of God in a world filled with darkness. You are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hidden. When I was in Israel, they took us to this place where they had these houses from back in the days. And you go into them and you see the way it was set up. These little huts like, and you had the window. And then they explained to us that you would light the lamp. And remember back then you didn't have lighters and matches. You scratched some stone together and so when you light that lamp, you don't want to turn it off because it's a lot of work to put it back. So what they would do, they would put this thing over it when they're going away. And it was just in case, there would be no fire in the room or anything like that. But you wouldn't get any light anymore. But there was enough holes in it that it would breathe. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to cover your light. I want your light to be exposed. I want the world to see. I want you to show the way. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And now he tells us as follows, you are the light of the world. We are the reflection of the true light. Are you and I reflecting the true light? Where is our light source coming from? When I'm in Haiti, we're out in a place, what's the name of that place? We're out in the boonies there? La Sousse. And when you go out there, it's so dark. that if I take my phone out, oops, and I don't walk my phone in church, but anyway, if I take my phone out and I just open it like this, all of a sudden the lights just move away. The darkness, sorry, move away. Do you make a difference when you walk into a room? When you go to a hospital and someone is dying, and do you make a difference when you pray? Do you make a difference the way you live? You see, because darkness and light cannot live in the same room. As dark as the room is, if you put a little light in it, the darkness has to flee. And Jesus says, I want you to be the light of the world. Young people, God is calling you not to try to be, but to live as the light of the world. Because the world needs you. The world needs each and every one of us. But you're a young generation coming up, and you're going to take the baton on to the next generation. Be light. Be salt in the world. You would never regret it. Are you a reflection? What and whom are you reflecting? What is the main purpose of light? Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. In the days of Jesus, they needed a lamp wherever they go because every place was dark. It's not like today. I remember when we had 9/11. No, not 9/11. After 9/11, we had a blackout in New York for 2 days. It was the first time living in New York City I had a flashlight to use. Because as bright as New York City was, when the artificial light went out, we needed that light. And there's a lot of artificial light in the world that's going out right now. But are we standing to be the real light, the true light? How can we be light? The way we live, the way we talk, the way we react to people. When we go to prisons, you're light. You know, I go a lot to prisons with week here. And we go sometimes to a prison down in South Carolina that has a death row. What's it called? Holman? Holman Prison. And when I go into I like to go to the death row. And you go to these little place, and it's a little thing and has a little hole. And if you're tall like me, you have to be like this. The short guys, you got it easy. And you talk to these people. And all I say to them, you know, I don't know if you had a visit, but God has sent me to be the visit for you today. I just want to visit with you. I want to share what God did in my life. And I had this one guy who was Muslim, and he sat there, and I just shared with him the light of the world. And with tears coming down his eyes, he decided to say, yes, I need light. There was a Chinese man that they say he had killed his. Oh, I shouldn't be saying. Anyway, there's a Chinese man that did some bad things. And he was sitting there, and I just went to talk with him. He was in death row. Are we being light? Sometimes we are so consumed with one another that we forget there's a world out there living in darkness. What about those that are hungry? Not only hungry physically, but hungry for the word. Could we spend time to have a Bible study with them? Show them some light? Show them the light of Christ? Because he didn't say you could be the light. He said you are the light. You are the salt of the world. If you are a Christian, you are the light of the world. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again, the people said, he said, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. I want to leave you with Revelation chapter 21. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in its temple. The city had not need of the sun or the moon to shine in its glory, for God has illuminated it. The Lamb, is its light, and the nation of those are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring glory and honor. Yes, it is true. Jesus Christ is the light. And he has called us to be a reflection of that light, the way we live our life. In closing, Chuck Swindoll, some of you know him, gave an interesting advice. He says, when you live in darkness, you not only have no ray of light, you do not even know where home is. That is the way it is with the majority in the world. Some folks are born, raised, and die in cultures that have never seen their first flashlight of hope. Imagine it. When the truth of that hits me, I find myself a little impatient with Christians who do nothing but shine lights to themselves. They even have what we might call flashlight parties, where they just shine light on each other, lots of light. Jesus says, shine your light for the world. You know, many of us, we come to church and we shine in light, and everybody's shining a light. And we all have the light. What about taking that light and shining it in the world of darkness? It takes time. It's inconvenient. It may cost you a little more than you want, but there's great rewards. I told people after 9/11, when 9/11 happened, we lived in New York City. And Christian Aid Ministry came into New York City and they asked, what could we do? And they said, well, I take groups along and we sing, and people stand and they weep and they cry and we pray with them. And they started something, and we started having CDs to give out. We give out CDs in the subway, and they would sing. And I said, we don't even need to preach. Just sing and go talk to people and pray with them. Just be light. Just shine. And then go to them as salt and just encourage them. Give them a new flavor. Stop the contamination. Stop the decaying. And I realized there on that God had called me more than just living in New York City, working and trying to make money. And I began ministry. And there were many times when we had nothing coming in at the end of the week, but there was always food on the table, because my God shall supply all my needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying everyone has to leave their jobs and start going into full-time ministry. But if God called you, don't do like Jonah and go the other direction. I'm in the place right now. I enjoy my work so much. Sometimes I get 5 hours sleep, and I could go on and on. I just love what I do. Because I know that even though I don't get it on this side, it's stored up in heaven. And God gets the glory. Before I close tonight, I want to give you an opportunity. You may want to share something. Something tonight you want to share. I want to give you an opportunity. You know, yesterday we talked about one of the problems we have is we don't want to give glory to God. We don't want to give a testimony. But I think it's so important to give a testimony. Maybe God has done something for you this last week, this last month, and you want to share just the goodness of God. Won't you stand where you are? Nothing about me, but what he has done in your life. Anyone has a testimony, a word of praise? Who's going to be first? My praise God. He, you know, there are times when we just have to know, just rely on him. There are times, yes, we are going, we are praying, but there are times when we can't do it. And God will give you a good day. Praise God for that. Anyone else? Anyone else? Before we pray. Before you sit down, do you know why God showed you that? Because you wanted. See, you wanted to see it. And if you want it bad enough, he'll give it to you. And if you would say to God, God, show me if there's anything in me that is not, he'll show you. But sometimes we just hide in the darkness. Thank you so much. Praise God. Anyone else? I'll take one more. Praise God for that he brought her, you know. That's the God we serve. Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you said that we are the salt and light of the world. Let us, Lord God, show that by the way we bring a new flavor to those around us, a sweet taste. The people want to be around us because of that sweet flavor we have. On that purity, Lord God, help us to be pure in heart. You said, blessed are the pure in heart. And Lord, help us not to be contaminated. God, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise that you said that we are the light of the world. Help us that our light will shine bright in this world of darkness. There's a lot that is going around us. We can talk about it, but Lord, help us to stop talking and start shining. I pray for each and every one here today, Lord God, that they will go into this world with the light of Christ, be that reflection. And Lord, the only way we can be the reflection is we have to be close to the light. And as we are close to the main light, Jesus Christ, it will reflect right off of him onto others. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. Be with us tonight as we go. Help us to meditate upon you. And as we come tomorrow, may you continue to feed us. In Jesus' name.